ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. A small handful of Republicans will decide whether the Senate will confirm a Trump nominee to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg before the November election. Capitol Hill correspondent Bob Agnew with a report.
On the question of confirming a nominee before Election Day, the president already has two defectors, GOP moderates Susan Collins of Maine and Barbara Murkowski of Alaska. That means Majority Leader Mitch McConnell can only afford one more member to say no. The most likely holdouts are Senator Cory Gardner of Colorado and perennial Trump detractor Mitt Romney of Utah. Another question mark is Senator Charles Grassley of Iowa, a former chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee who has previously embraced the position a Supreme Court vacancy should not be filled in an election year. Bob Agnew reporting.
Also at SRNNews.com, a woman suspected of sending an envelope containing the poison ricin, which was addressed to the White House, was arrested Sunday at the New York-Canada border. She's also suspected of sending similar poisoned envelopes to law enforcement agencies in Texas. That woman expected to face federal charges. Household wealth in the U.S. has hit record highs. Shelley Adler with that report.
The Federal Reserve says Americans' household wealth rebounded last quarter to a record high as the stock market quickly recovered from a pandemic-induced dive in March. However, the gains went mainly to the most affluent households, even as tens of millions of people endured job losses. Data compiled by research group Opportunity Insights shows that the highest-paying one-third of jobs have almost fully recovered from the recession, while the lowest-paying one-third of jobs remain 16% below pre-pandemic levels. I'm Shelley Adler.
The stocks sharply lower on Wall Street, joining a global tumble for markets. The Dow and the S&P 500 both down well over 2%. This is SRN News.
Chance of showers, high up to 78. Tonight, mostly cloudy and windy with a low around 64. Tuesday, mostly cloudy and breezy. Expect a high of 80. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, low 68. Wednesday, partly sunny.
As members of God's family, we're the recipients of His incredible generosity. And these gifts from God can never be taken away. Monday, Chuck Swindoll describes these lavish gifts to his children in a message called 10 Reasons to Give God Praise. Listen Monday to Insight for Living.
Hey, welcome to SWAT Radio with Doug McCary of His Light Ministries. So happy you are listening today. I am Taylor Johnson, and if you would like to join the discussion, please call us at 1-844-777-7928. That's 1-844-777-SWAT, or you can email us at ask@swatradio.com. That's ask@swatradio.com. And if you are listening to the podcast because you missed us live, you can also send your questions to Facebook and Twitter. At SWAT Radio Talk is the handle. That's at SWAT Radio Talk. And we will try to answer your questions just as soon as we have our next time together, be it a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or anytime that we are together. Big news in the country over the weekend. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away. I'm sure everyone has heard of that, and it has led to some strong words being lobbied at one another from both sides. I feel like every weekend we come in and it seems like there's another big push either in violence or in tough rhetoric towards one another that happens, and it's this is the latest instance of that.
Well, here's the thing. And by the way, Taylor, I'm sorry. I was over there. I when I put these earphones on, my ears were about to get blown out. It was so loud over here. Yeah, by the way, the big news is that's the national news.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Jacksonville, and I'm not sure about up in Virginia, the folks in Mississippi are so far inland that they don't, or the people out in Idaho or Texas. Yeah. And Missouri, I know we got people listening in Missouri. But here on the coast, apparently the system that's off the East Coast is creating unbelievable rip currents. And this nor'easter that's in here is just unbelievable. I was out not too far from my house, maybe, I don't know, 10 minutes, but I was out at a place called near Marsh Landing. Mm-hmm. And it's the Intercoastal Waterway out there. And this place I've been going to for 10 years, and I've never seen the flooding like I saw over the weekend. And I was out there, and I was in the parking lot, and there were just a few puddles in the parking lot, and it rained a little, and I'm thinking, okay, it's no big deal. Well, after about 20 minutes, it was already halfway up to my tires on my truck. Mm. And I was like walking around in almost knee deep water.
Wow.
And from the Intercoastal Waterway, that murky water, I was just like, wow. And it's out there again. The tide is in right now. So be careful for people, low lying areas around here. If you're near the marsh or the Intercoastal, the wind is really heavy here. Mm-hmm. And it's blowing that water in, and the high tide is up really high. And so, just be careful out there. It's peaking right now. It's where I was on Saturday, and it was only about ankle deep. I mean, I think it got deeper. Well, it's already up about 4 feet there now. So it's just incredible. So be careful out there. But yeah, I do want to go to, if you're just tuning into SWAT Radio, SWAT stands for Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth. And SWAT is also a bunch of Bible study groups and groups of men that meet around the Word of God that are disciples. We want to follow Christ, and so we're committed to His Word. We're committed to prayer and evangelism, being witnesses for Him, and discipleship and community. And we take what we teach in the SWAT Bible studies, and Taylor and I discuss it Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We usually have a guest on Thursday, and then we may come in and bring a disciple guy in on Friday, and we kind of banter back and forth about what we've been talking about. And this week, we're going to be looking at apostasy. But the news right now, it's funny, I had Trey Brunson, who is the multi-site pastor at a Church of 1122, in here Thursday, and we were talking about how important the Supreme Court decision is as far as the president coming in. And then the next day, it's announced that Ruth Bader Ginsburg passes away. And all of a sudden, the fireworks go off between every political leader out there saying the other side is wrong to do what they're doing, or they should do this. And I think, you know, it's just what's fascinating to me is that Lindsey Graham has never been known as a bully. He's never been the kind of guy. I've always thought he's not been strong enough as a senator. Personally, watching him, I just haven't cared for him that much. He's not that bad of a guy, I guess. I just didn't like the way he carried himself. I would have liked to have seen a little more, you know, stand up sometimes, I guess. And they were out at his house protesting because he had made a couple of comments about how we should go ahead and get a Supreme Court justice on there, and it, you know, they should vote on it. And people are saying the president doesn't have a right to do that. And people that are saying that are either not informed or just ignorant. You know, I mean, they're either informed and disregarding it, but he does have a right to nominate somebody. There was a difference between when what people are not factoring in is that there were years ago, and not to get political, but just to explain, because this is very important, and we should be praying for our leaders to have wisdom and discernment, because our faith is not in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue or who sits on the Supreme Court, but we want godly leaders. We want leaders that sit on the court that honor God and His Word. And as good as Ruth Bader Ginsburg was for women's rights, and as much of a stalwart for legal stuff, and I'm not denying that she accomplished a lot in her life, She was not a godly woman. She did like her Jewish heritage, but she was not a follower of Jesus Christ. She was for homosexual rights and lesbian rights. She did was the first justice to do a gay wedding. She was for abortion. And so that's for killing a children. I'm sorry. That is not the kind of person that we want on there serving on the Supreme Court. So as believers, we need to be praying for our leaders to be wise and discerning and to do the courageous thing, to do what is courageous and not to be bullied into doing something out of fear. Like I listened to, you know, people talking about a couple of senators who are in tight races and they're coming out, maybe we shouldn't do this, because they're weighing the political landscape, trying to figure out which way to go instead of just being people of courage.
Yeah.
We need people of courage to lead. We need people of conviction to lead and in character. And you know, so say what you want about our current president's character. He has put a lot of good judges on the bench who stand for good conservative interpretation of our Constitution, and he's put good justices on the Supreme Court. And the three right now that he is proposing, or at least three of the five that they've been talking about a lot, one of them is from Florida. Other one is a lady the other two are Catholic, but
one was a law professor at Notre Dame.
Yes. Yeah. And then the other one, she's from the 4th district, but she actually helped a Christian ministry served alongside them called the Alliance Defending Freedom. And so there's some good candidates. I would be happy with any of those, 'cause they've all ruled conservatively as basically what you would call people that believe that our founding fathers, when they established the Constitution, meant for it to stand the way it was written and not be liberally interpreted throughout time. Like the Bible, like a lot of these people, the same people that view the Constitution progressively view the Bible progressively as well.
Yeah.
And so we need to just pray for our leaders, pray for wisdom. And I think this is a very important time. Mm-hmm. And I just hope that they do the right thing. The other thing is the constitutional crisis that could develop with a 4-4 split over the election right now. And they're saying that the election itself, that at least I heard one report that said that Biden and Harris have 200 trained litigators ready to challenge the election. Well, I don't know if Trump and Pence have litigators. I just heard that they've already got people standing by. It's going to be contentious. It's going to be challenged. And like everything else in 2020, who knows what's going to happen, right? Yeah. So we just need to keep praying and pray for our leaders. Pray for that. And I don't know about you, but this Supreme Court decision is something as believers we should pray for. If you're not praying, just ask for God to give our leaders wisdom and courage to do the right thing. So,
yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, there's been some contention as to whether that you should pick a justice in an election year. And I think that, I mean, why wouldn't you? You know, Obama did it in 2016. He didn't have a majority, or, you know, the Senate and the Congress was split with the White House as far as political leanings. But at this point, especially if you come from a traditional constitutionalist background, an opportunity to get somebody into the court who is going to uphold the Constitution the way that it was intended by the framers, I think is really important. And like you say, especially with the possibility of a contested election.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. You know, there people are throwing the term lame duck out there for President Trump. He is not a lame duck right now. A lame duck means that a successor has been elected, during which time the outgoing president and the president-elect usually embark on a transition of power from one to the other. But a lame duck doesn't mean an election year. And people need to understand that. He is not a lame duck. He has every right to nominate somebody, and then it's up to the Senate to confirm that person.
Yep. Stick with us. We will be back with more after the break. You're listening to SWAT Radio. Stay tuned.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
I push, I pull, go back and forth, finding myself. Pounding on a locked door, I try to make it out alone without your help. But I know I'll never win this war. I can never be, never be free without you. I can never be, never be me without you.
That is Freedom Hymn by Austin French. Welcome back to SWAT Radio. SWAT stands for Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth. And with that in mind, we are going to be talking about Hebrews today. We were just talking, as we do in the first segment, about the news over the weekend, talking about the passing of Justice Ginsburg and about the political fight now about having a new justice nominated and whether that should happen or not. But we are going to be getting into Hebrews and talking about apostasy.
Yeah, we are. I do want to make one more comment. By the way, I want to say a shout out to Miss Mary in Mississippi, who listens all the time and prays for us. Thank you for listening to us on SWAT Radio. A shout out to our listeners there on WMER in my hometown, Meridian, Mississippi. So thankful that you tune in. And up at the Lighthouse up in Virginia, up in Chesapeake, Virginia, in the Virginia Beach area. So thankful you guys are listening. And also the people here in Folkestone, Georgia, St. Augustine, Jacksonville, and the people listening through the SWAT Radio app. We're just glad you're listening. And, you know, a couple of comments real quick about the court, and then we'll transition into Hebrews. You know, people say Justice Ginsburg, her last wish was that her seat, well, first of all, it's not her seat. Mm. It's a seat on the Supreme Court that she filled. It's not her seat. It's the seat of the American people to have nine justices on that court. Mm-hmm. And the president has the constitutional responsibility to nominate somebody for that. And in 2016, Barack Obama, I think it was 16, he nominated somebody for that. And the Senate did their job, and they did not confirm that person because they did not feel like that person should be confirmed, because President Obama was a lame duck president, and he was, because he was going out of office. Mm-hmm. And that's different. There was a different political power in the Senate, which is the checks and balances. And had it been a Democratic Senate, you better believe they would have confirmed Merrick Garland.
Yep.
But it wasn't. Well, now we have a Republican Senate voted in power. We have a Republican president voted in power. And if they want to affirm a candidate, that is their right. There's nothing power play about it. There's nothing unconstitutional about it. And so what we want as believers is we want a court that will not only rule in the name of the Constitution, but will rule constitutionally as the founding fathers would have wanted it ruled by the way they laid it out, not some progressive interpretation. A court that will respect and uphold every right found in the Constitution. But we don't want a court that's going to invent new rights, which we've had for a long time, quite frankly, and making the Constitution say whatever it wants. I mean, that's a really important distinction that the reason I think you see a lot of people panicking and upset is this would be a shift from a more liberal view court to a conservative constitutional court.
Yeah.
And which is what it should be to start with. And so that's why people are really panicking and in a mess. And so
and I think the panic also highlights just how far apart we've drifted as far as neighbors and as a country. You know, the left ideology, the right ideology, how different it is, that something like this is seen as a catastrophe if you get another conservative in onto the Supreme Court.
Well, I mean, they even made a comment over the weekend in an article about Republicans giving Ruth Bader Ginsburg's seat, again, it's not her seat, but giving that seat on the Supreme Court to a Federalist Society fanatic. Well, the Federalist Society is made up of lawyers and law professors, and I mean, these are not fanatics.
Yeah.
But to them, they're fanatics because they believe in strict interpretation of the constitutional as the way the framers intended. And so I just think we, as we move forward, continue to pray for our leaders, pray for your congressmen, pray for your senators, call them, write them, tell them, hey, where I'm praying for you, and please be courageous, do the right thing, stand up for biblical values, stand up for the right to life, stand up for traditional marriage, stand up for traditional values, the Bible values that God wants his people to follow. That's what he wants us to be about. So anyway, that being said, you know, we have been in Hebrews for a year and we took a break over the summer, but we did a review last week, just a real quick review during this second segment, that Hebrews was written about 60 to 70 AD to a group of people in and around Rome. And it was made up of three different groups of people. People, first of all, who were actually left the Jewish sacrificial system, the temple worship, and they were all in with Jesus. And there was a second group who were intellectually bought in with Jesus, but they had not really given him their whole heart. They weren't all in. They were pretenders, posers, whatever you want to be, but they weren't intentionally being fake, but they just had not yet really surrendered their whole heart to him. And then there was a third group of people who were still trying to figure it out. Well, the writer wrote this faith community's letter to tell them that Jesus is supreme to everything that you've had as part of your past spiritual experience, supreme to everyone, to angels, to Moses, to Abraham, to the high priest. In fact, the most important feature in Judaism in their worship was the high priest. And they said, Jesus is the greatest high priest ever. And so he goes through a series of presenting evidence in chapters 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 to lay that out. But he also gives five warnings in the book. And we looked at three of them. And this week we're looking at the fourth warning about don't be an apostate. So the first warning is in chapter 2. And he says, don't ignore my invitation. Don't drift away from the message. Keep coming back to the gospel. Nobody hears the gospel and responds right away. I mean, you may hear it the first time, but nobody, the very first time they hear it, completely gives their heart to Christ and starts having this life change. It takes multiple hearings of the gospel for it to really get a hold of you. It's just like marriage. You know, nobody meets their wife and the very first time they meet them say, hey, will you marry me? Mm. You have to count the cost, Jesus said. You know, nobody builds a building without counting the cost or goes to war without counting costs. It's the same with following him. You weigh the cost. If I follow Jesus, it means this for me. In fact, he says, if anyone wants to follow me, he has to what? Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You don't make that kind of decision in a split second.
Yeah.
The first time you hear it. So he warns them, don't drift away from the message. Keep coming back in chapter 2. In chapter 3, he's warning those that hear, but they harden their heart. He alludes back to Psalm 95, which quotes from Exodus. And in Exodus, he's recalling the hardness of heart at Meribah and Massah of the Israelite people, where they complain, why did you bring us out here, Moses, to die after God had done all these miracles? And there's something very telling back there in Exodus, I think it's 17. And listen to what it says in Exodus 17 when they're complaining. They're complaining, and it says, because they tested the Lord by saying, is the Lord among us or not? Mm-hmm. Have you ever wondered that? You ever wondered, is he even real? I mean, does he care about me? Because he doesn't answer a prayer. Mm-hmm. You don't get what you want. You know, for you, like when you tore your shoulder at the academy, you're going, come on, God, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Come on, man. You know, I mean, like, whatever. You know, you like, when things happen that we don't like, a lot of times as believers, we question whether God's there or whether he cares. That's what they were questioning after he'd done all that he did. Now, if you look back in your life now, not being in the midst of a test, it's easy. So, oh, yeah, I see how God did this and did this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just sitting here at this radio program.
Yeah.
You didn't have anything to do with this, did you?
Mm.
But he said, I'm going to use you, Taylor, and I want to use you to help spread my word out on a platform that you didn't even make happen.
Yeah.
Isn't that great when he does stuff like that?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
But when you get in the midst of stuff, you can wonder. And so he's warning this group of people, you know, don't harden your heart. The second group and third group, he's saying, listen, don't harden your heart just because things are getting tough. And then he gives them the third warning in chapter 5, 11 through 6, 12, where he says, don't waver, be all in. He warns them very clearly about, listen, if you walk away from this, there's no hope for you. And that's what he's saying there. He's saying, don't waver. He warns them against apostasy there. That's where he starts the warning. He says, listen, if you go away from this, there's no hope for you, you know, for those who fall away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't fall away if you're really his. You only fall away if you pretend to be his or if you're not fully given into him. Once you're his, the Holy Spirit seals you and perseverance will mark your life, according to what Paul says in Ephesians. So when we come back in that third and fourth segment today, I'm gonna just go into a story about a couple of guys that people may have never heard of that served alongside one of the greatest evangelists of all time, Billy Graham.
Mm.
And it's an amazing story, and I hope you'll stay tuned with us when we come back, and you can hear about how God perseveres through some, but some he doesn't.
Mm.
And Judas is probably the best example of an apostate in Scripture.
Yeah.
So, you know, one other thing I want to say before we go to break real quick. Chapter 7, I talked about this weekend when I preached at Ponte Vedra Prez, Melchizedek and Jesus, the only king priest in the Bible. Why is that significant? Because everybody wants a priest, nobody wants a king.
Mm.
And that's something really we need to wrestle with. So.
All right, so stick with us. We will be back with more after the news. We'd like to give a special thanks to our sponsors, Ace Door and Window, as well as a special thanks to our sponsors, Tom Neal Trucking, and a special thanks to Jeff Andrews of Highway to Eternity Ministries. If you would like to sponsor the program, please email us at doug@swatradio.com. That's doug@...
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to swatradio.com. Click on past shows where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to swatradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening...
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, speaking on Capitol Hill this hour, says there will be a vote on a Supreme Court justice before Election Day. The Supreme Court says the body of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg will lie in repose at the Supreme Court this week, with arrangements to allow for public viewing despite the pandemic. Ginsburg's casket will be on public view Wednesday and Thursday. Tropical storm conditions are beginning in parts of Texas and Louisiana as Tropical Storm Beta spins off coast. That tropical storm could bring up to 15 inches of rain to some areas. America's household wealth rebounded last quarter to a record high as the stock market quickly recovered from the pandemic-induced plunge in March. The Federal Reserve says households' net worth jumped nearly 7% in the second quarter to $119 million. This is SRN News.
This is Bishop Stan Williams, and I am excited to announce the launch of the Church 320 radio broadcast. This is going to be an amazing time of impartation where we will focus on developing your faith, unifying your family, and maturing you spiritually through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every Monday through Friday on 91.7 and 91.9 FM, The Truth, at 2 a.m. to 2:30 a.m. I am excited, and I pray that you will tune in.
Why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line with all the other not quite, with all the never get it right. But it turns out they're the ones you were looking for all this time. 'Cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight. You picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is everybody's got a purpose. So when I hear that devil start talking to me, saying, who do you think you are? I say, I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. That was Casting Crowns with Nobody. What was that? Did you hear that?
Yeah, it was a little. I don't know what's going on. We got a little.
We got a new
little birds flying around or something.
Yeah, we got a new system today, and it's messing around.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. It's a little messed up, but we'll make it work. Hey, thank you for tuning in to SWAT Radio, and listen, I appreciate your emails, and I you know we were getting into Hebrews, but I did get an email that I want to respond to because. There may be more people thinking this out there, and I want to clarify a couple of things. I want to read you the email, and then I'm going to respond to it, okay? Because I don't want you to hear me just responding to different things. I want to read verbatim the email, and then I will respond so you hear it. And it says, I listened to you many days, and you've done this many times, and then you justify misinformation. And I can't believe you don't fact check before spewing info. I couldn't let it go today. Obama was not allowed to get his appointment through because of the Republicans and some weeks ago. And I can't believe when you reported that the young man was shot, you failed to mention he was shot seven times. Who does that? If the officer wanted to stop him, he could have shot him in the leg. Simply, but you can't even see that. Doug, and you justified a black man getting shot seven times. This is not the compassion of Jesus, and you seriously gave the young white man who killed a person a pass. This is why people don't believe believers, because some of us Republican Christians pick and choose who they see as righteous. I'm sure you will find a way to justify your points to prove me wrong, but sometimes you need to check your heart and not your political party before you say you have the heart of Jesus. Well, first of all, I want to go back and just say that, you know, I am flawed. I'm not above getting things wrong, and I'm not above saying things that sometimes might have misinformation in them. I can clearly do that because I'm human and I make mistakes. But President Obama, I didn't say he wasn't allowed to get his appointment through. I said he was allowed to get his nomination, and he nominated Merrick Garland the way a president was supposed to, and the Senate did not take up the vote for him. They didn't vote on him. They did what the Senate was allowed to do, and they did that. That was the issue there. Again, President Obama was a lame duck president. He was headed out. He was not going to be reelected. He was at the end of his second term. And there is a difference between him and a Republican Senate who had just been voted in to, you know, in the midterms, and a president who is of the same political party who still can be reelected. President Trump is not considered a lame duck yet. He's not. He would be a lame duck after November, but he's not right now.
Yeah.
And so he's simply exercising his right and privilege and responsibility as the president to nominate. And then the Senate will do what they do. They will take it up to either confirm or not allow it. And that's the checks and balances of our system. So he didn't get his appointment through because the Senate did what they were supposed to do, and they said no. And so as far as the young man, I believe you're referring to Jacob Blake, who was shot. I did not mention that he was shot seven times, but that's not relevant. I can show you a video right now of a man who had a knife, who was shot by a police officer. The police officer shot seven times. The guy went down after being shot. He kept yelling at him to stay down. And the guy got up, got another police officer with the knife, and cut him on his neck. And he had to be shot four additional times. When we go through law enforcement training, and I'm speaking from experience, not from somebody who's never served in that capacity, we are shown videos like that all the time. And you don't shoot somebody in the leg or the arm to try to wing them.
Yeah.
That's a misnomer. You shoot to neutralize the person who is a potential threat. And that means you shoot till they stop. And if they're still moving or still going for something, you shoot till they stop. That's how every law enforcement officer is trained. And you shoot center mass. That means the center of the body, because hitting somebody in a major organ is what's going to stop them. You don't shoot for the legs. You don't shoot for the arms or the hands. If you have to pull your firearm, you shoot center mass. So that right there is a false argument, too. That's a straw man. You don't do that.
That is the public not understanding kind of the ins and outs of police work, because as a police officer, you were responsible for every shot you took. And hands or legs, they move around a lot, and they don't neutralize the threat. And you could be easily accidentally shoot somebody behind because, you know, you're not aware of the target in the correct way because the hand's moving around and it's not where it should be. And if you shoot someone in the leg, their finger still works. They can still pull the trigger. I know that Jacob Blake was going for a knife and not for a gun. But yeah, that's troublesome for me, just as far as that's the level of discourse that we're having within the church, that it's that kind of pointed towards
one
another. Well,
even in the email, one of the things you say is you said that I justified a black man getting shot, but I gave a pass to a young white man.
I was going to say that.
That right there, first of all, you know, I serve everybody. I look at people and I see color, more melanin in some skins, and I appreciate that. And if you don't believe me, there's enough people who are on the city council in Jacksonville who will testify, who've been with me and other people from our ministry serving on the north side of town, the west side of town, helping people with lots of melanin in their skin. We're not doing that. We're going away from our families on the weekend to go serve and pray with people because we care about them. And the fact that he was white or black serves no meaning as to whether he had a knife or not.
Mm-hmm.
If he has a knife, it doesn't matter if he's white, yellow, black, green. It doesn't matter. He's got a weapon that can hurt that police officer or other people. And so the police officer, if he's telling him to stop and he's not, and he's got a weapon, then the police officer is justified in using deadly force.
Or that's he plain said and he simple. Was going to get a weapon.
He did. But he was already, I thought they said they saw him with a weapon or he had a weapon at one point.
I know they were, he had said he was going to go get a knife. That's what I remember. I don't remember all the story now because it's been a while, but I do remember that he was wanted for a violent crime, which was, you know, sexually assaulting his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's why the cops were there, and they knew that going in.
Here's the thing. There was a thing. I've trained people in how to use firearms and use deadly force before. I've done that. And I do it with balance, and I tell everybody that using a firearm to defend yourself is like an airbag. You don't want it to go off,
mm-hmm.
but it could save your life. And so I showed them a situation where there was a guy who was a protester. In fact, I think he was a pastor. I know he was a city leader, but I think he was a pastor, and he led protest against police shooting unarmed mm-hmm. men. And so they got that guy to come out and actually go through three different scenarios where he had to function as a police officer with assailants or people that he was trying to get to do, let him handcuff them or let him put them in a police car. They had arrest warrants or whatever. And he made two or three bad decisions. He shot an unarmed man.
Mm.
In a situation where he probably shouldn't shot him, but he overreacted. And then one case, he didn't shoot a guy and he died.
Mm.
And his whole perspective changed once he was put through those scenarios. And so all I'm saying is it's easy to armchair quarterback people, but in your email that you sent to me, you made a judgment on me that I differentiate between black and white. And you know, all I got to say is I'm sorry if you feel that way, because I don't. I've done my best to try to serve people of all ethnic backgrounds.
Well, if the races were reversed, you would have been saying the same thing, because yeah. it wasn't the determining factor in why you.
I'll tell you what, if Jacob Blake would have been the guy in Kenosha, Wisconsin who did what he did,
mm-hmm.
I would have said he would have been justified mm-hmm. because he did not shoot, apparently, from the video. Now, that's what I saw in the video. Mm-hmm. He exercised good discipline to not shoot until somebody tried to take his weapon away mm-hmm. or somebody hit him in the head with a skateboard and tried to come in on him with a gun.
Yeah.
So I thought he handled that well. And I still say he will not be charged for murder. He may get charged, but he won't be indicted for murder because of the way he responded to that. So.
Yeah, I think we as Christians need to try. I know it's difficult in the time that we're living, but try to extend grace to other people and also try not to look at things specifically through the lens of race. I think the critical race theory has in infested even a lot of the church. And I think
it's everywhere. Yeah, it's everywhere.
That's big trouble. That's ungodly. We will be back with more after the break. You're listening to SWAT Radio. Stay tuned.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice at the same old lights, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, saving, he's a prison-shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. And we've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need
That is Zach Williams with Chainbreaker. Welcome back to SWAT Radio. We are going to be talking about Hebrews today. And we are getting into apostasy. And that's what we were talking about in the second segment, a little bit in the third segment. And we are going to be getting back to that.
Well, actually, yeah, we were reviewing. And I think because we're going in the fourth segment, this is an open forum call. You can call in. We're happy to take calls. I don't expect you to agree with me about everything, and that's okay. Here's the thing. It's okay if we don't agree, but let's not attack each other's character because we disagree. See, this is a problem in our country, is we can't disagree without tearing one another down or judging motives. Just because I have a different viewpoint about a particular situation than you do, or you have one with me, we should be able to have dialogue about it and not question people's hearts or whether, you know, people are just flat out evil, you know, because I think that anybody that has spent any time around me would understand that they know that I don't look at people that have more melanin in their skin with any kind of deference or anything. I mean, or prejudice. I mean, I know everybody has a little bit of prejudice. I mean, to say that you don't have any is not genuine.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, I appreciate different cultures. I've traveled to 22 countries, and I've learned after going to all these countries that we all have value to offer to the kingdom, you know, through the cultures that God has given us. And I just think that when you look at somebody and you disregard them because of the melanin in their skin, that's wrong. But it's wrong to do it on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wrong to be, you know, I'm not loyal to a political party. I'm loyal to Jesus.
Yeah.
But I'm also loyal to right and wrong. And when I see, and maybe, you know, one of the things people have noticed is, I've shared with you in the break, I've probably been a little more vocal about this upcoming election because I see two radical agendas. One, to try to have values that I consider biblical values mm-hmm. for our culture, supporting Christian rights, supporting traditional marriage, supporting the right to life. I think those are strong Christian values, strong biblical values. And I think we should support those. And we should support people that actually follow through and help with those.
Mm-hmm.
And I see another one that's against the family,
mm-hmm.
that is certainly bought into the Black Lives Matter organization, which is Marxist,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't stand for the same values that we stand for. And I think we got a clear choice come November 3rd on Election Day. And as believers, I think we ought to step up and use our influence for salt and light. I make no apologies for that.
Yeah, and I don't think that you should. And I, like I was saying before the break, it is troublesome when the body, the church body, is not unified because. You know, the way kind of that I've been reading what's going on in the country is a division, and we're separating almost into two completely different peoples. And if the church goes along with that and doesn't show something that's different and that we can still be unified and even with disagreements, you know, the country's going to destroy itself.
Hmm.
You know, and without the church standing up and saying, hey, this is how we love one another, and giving an example of that, I don't think there's any hope for the country maintaining itself without revival. That's just,
revival. Yeah. We do. And by the way, there's an event coming up on Saturday called The Return by a guy named Jonathan Kahn.
Mm.
And if you haven't heard about it, you know, it is, they do have a website called The Return. It's a national and global day of prayer and repentance. And it's going to start, I think it's 6 p.m. Friday night.
Mm.
But they'll have speakers up there. They're going to have Jonathan Kahn himself, Secretary Ben Carson, Alveda King, Dr. James Dobson, Tony Perkins, Bishop Harry Jackson, Jerry Boykin, who started the Delta Force,
mm-hmm.
But is a strong believer. They've got a lot of people that are going to be speaking and sharing and calling people back as a country. I'm not that familiar with it, except anytime there's a call to repentance, it can't be a bad thing.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think our country definitely needs to repent. A lot of people don't know about Jonathan Kahn. I think he wrote a book called The Harbinger.
Oh.
Have you ever heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
In that book, he talks about, you know, a message back to our people. He's written lots of books. He comes, I think, from a messianic Jewish perspective.
Mm.
He's a pastor. He took what happened with the United States in September 11th and compared it to ancient Israel and the destruction of the kingdom of Israel.
Mm.
But he's calling for this return, and he's got all these people in there. So I just, you reminded me of that when you said repentance. And so,
is that going to be like streamed online?
I think it's streamed. I think you can go to the return, I think it's the return.com or .org. It's .org. And, you can go in there and you can watch the stream on your computer, but they're calling for all these people to come up to Washington, D.C. I think they're trying to get a lot of people.
Are they?
There.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
so
pretty cool.
I think that's where they want to do that. But hey, I mean, we don't have any callers, but I just wanted to remind the people as we were going through Hebrews, and then we got kind of off with that email, but I felt like I needed to respond to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to remind people that as we go into chapter 10 to get into the fourth warning of apostasy, that right before he does that, in chapters 8 and 9, he talks about the difference between the new covenant and old covenant, and how the new covenant has a better priest in Jesus. It's a better model of worship in that we have intimacy with God 24/7 access to the Father. There's a better ministry because we have God's grace, power, and mercy to go. The Holy Spirit never indwelt anybody permanently except for Jesus when he was on the earth. I mean, until after the crucifixion. And so there's a new covenant is better. And then he saw that the old covenant had these limits that the new covenant really fulfilled. There was a picture in the old covenant. The old covenant said, you do this and I provide this. But the new covenant says, I've provided, now go do this. And so, and then he goes into chapter 10 and he lays out what Christ has done, that we have all these benefits of what the law couldn't do. That old system is what he's talking about. And he says, our benefits are that we're freed forever. We don't have a need for a priest. The curtain in the Holy of Holies is gone. We're sanctified forever. It says once for all set apart. We're secured forever by one single sacrifice. He sat down. No priest had ever sat down in the Holy of Holies, but he sits down in the heavenlies because his job is done. We're perfected forever. The word there for perfected is telos, which we get to telestai. It is finished, when he said that on the cross. And so because Jesus is our priest and king, we have 24/7 access to the Father. We have assurance of our salvation, and we have an advocate that intercedes for us. He said, so because of this, in verses 23, 24, and 25 of Hebrews, he says, draw near to me. That's intimacy with the Father, and that's faith. And then he says, I want you to hold fast your confession of hope. That's how we deal with the world around us. That's hope. And then he says, I want you to consider how to stir one another up. That's loving one another, he says, with love. So that's the faith, hope, and love Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 13, the greatest of these being love. And he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Why? To encourage one another with these three things. So that's kind of how we left it last week, and how we've worked up to that point of drawing near to God, faith, living it out and holding a confession of hope, and then putting him on display, loving our neighbor, loving people. And as we do that, he says the fourth warning, which is in 26 through the end of the chapter, which he says, don't be an apostate. And an apostate we're going to look at tomorrow is somebody who receives the truth and rejects it. And we all know people that may reject it outright, but there's a lot of people that reject the truth, not by just outright rejecting it, but saying they believe it, but they don't really believe it, i.e. Judas Iscariot, okay, or Demas. And so tomorrow we're going to come back and we're going to jump right into what it means to be an apostate.
All right, so make sure you tune in tomorrow so that you can hear that. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. At SWAT Radio Talk is the handle. That is at SWAT Radio Talk. We would like to give a shout out to our listeners listening in Virginia, listening at the Lighthouse, as well as in Meridian, Mississippi, listening on WMER, and those of you listening here locally. You've been listening to SWAT Radio. If you missed any of this program or would like to listen to past programs, please visit us at www.swatradio.com. That's www.swatradio.com. Or you can listen to our podcast by searching SWAT Radio. You can also download our SWAT app in the App Store. Join us weekdays at 3 o'clock for more SWAT Radio. We'll see you then. Thanks for tuning in.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online.